around that. Before I move on to the third personage in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, though, just as a side note, I want to touch on something concerning Jesus that is it's a big issue with the witnesses. And some of you are aware of it, some of you aren't. But I don't know if you've ever been wearing a crucifix and had a witness comment on your crucifix or not, but I remember when I was 5 years old and visiting with a neighbor, and I guess she was Catholic, she had a crucifix in the hallway on the wall. I proceeded to tell her that it was a satanic symbol and how wicked it was and how evil she was and et cetera, et cetera. Five-year-old boy being babysitted by this woman. Glad I didn't end up with my picture on a milk carton. But I got a pat on the back when I got home. Okay. Because the crucifix is considered an abomination to the witnesses. It's a very big issue with them. Now, it's ironic because after coming out of that organization and actually studying history, it's inconceivable to dispute the historical accuracy of Jesus' method of execution. I mean, the Romans crucified criminals. That's what they did. But the witnesses have a view that Jesus was not crucified, he was impaled. The difference being, he was nailed to an upright beam, much like this, one nail through the hands, and the other through the feet, straight up and down, as opposed to being crucified on a cross beam like this. Now they make a very big case out of it because they claim that the cross is a pagan symbol and that its infiltration into Christendom was the biggest joke Satan was ever able to play on people. That I remember references to the cross growing up as, one that I'll give you is, have you ever seen the Egyptian symbol of life? Okay. It's the bottom of it looks like a cross. The top looks like a circle. Okay. Now, that is supposed to be the symbol of procreation, with the circle representing a female and the cross representing a male. It actually has a phallic meaning in that reference, in that context. And they claim that that's the joke on Christendom. What I find ironic about that at this stage in my faith is that in reading the scriptures, you don't read anything about the cross having any kind of symbolism that is pagan. But you certainly do see some symbolism regarding an upright beam and all the references in the Old Testament regarding an Asherah pole or an Asherah stake, which was always made in reference to Baal worship. They would talk about Baal worship and Asherah. And this was an upright beam, and that's exactly what it represented, was a phallus, and because it was part of a pagan fertility rite. And yet this is the very thing they claim that Jesus died on as opposed to the cross, and Jesus certainly couldn't have died on the cross because his Heavenly Father would not have allowed him to be defiled in such a manner. And so the point is moot when you consider that there's just as much, if not more, to point to in terms of an upright beam as being a pagan symbol as a cross. But I really don't think there's much reference that you can find to make out a cross to have so much pagan symbolism. What they try to make the case on is the Greek word staros. When I was growing up, they would make a very big issue out of the word staros, because they would say staros is the word that is referred to in the New Testament regarding Jesus' execution. And staros means upright pole, upright stake. And so they, therefore, in their translation, and whenever they make reference to Jesus' execution, they call it a torture stake, and they would never refer to it as a cross. Now, let's look at a dictionary's definition of staros. This is taken from a concise dictionary of the words in the Greek Testament by James Strong. Staros, a stake or post, in parentheses, as set upright. In other words, specifically, a pole or cross, in parentheses, as an instrument of capital punishment. Now, I'm sure if there was a big theological question regarding a symbolic difference between a pole and a cross, we could start splitting hairs about what Staros would pertain to. But these Roman centurions were not theologians. When they placed Jesus on the cross, they placed him on an upright pole. They placed him upright for execution. It was just as appropriate to call the cross a Staros from their viewpoint as it would have been to call a pole, a straight-up pole, Staros. They had no theological fine point to make in their wording. They were just there to carry out an execution. The purpose of the cross was just to execute criminals. And to them, Staros was a perfect definition. Furthermore, when you consider how the technical aspect of how crucifixion was actually carried out, it's interesting that before the execution really takes place, the execution site, Staros, in its most strict definition of being an upright pole, would still apply. Because, you see, we've seen in plays and dramas and movies Jesus carrying a full cross to the site of execution. And that has a very dramatic impact. It drives home the point of Jesus carrying his cross and dying on it. But from a historical viewpoint, the Romans were very efficient about their manner of execution. And Jerusalem was a city that had been established for some time under Roman occupation. And they had it all planned. They had their execution site. They had their stakes, the vertical beams planted in the ground. And then they had a little chiseled out spot where the cross beam would fit right in. And they had all these cross beams or crosses, the things that the criminals, the things that the condemned men would actually carry in their stockade. And so when someone was condemned to execution, they would go and they would grab their cross beam and they would carry that to the execution site where the soldiers would nail them to that and then fit it right into place and nail their feet to the vertical beam. It was very efficient. And that's the way they carried it out. As far as Scripture goes, as I've already pointed out, there's no reason to get upset over the word Staros being used. I mean, if we're going to look at it from such a strict definition, what do we do when we see places where Peter referred to Jesus' execution as he was hung on a tree? I mean, we can see the parallel. We can see the symbolism of Peter's statement. But from we're going to start getting into strict definitions. We've got two opposing stories of Jesus' death. So there's no sense trying to get that technical. And there's really nothing scriptural to make us believe that Jesus was not crucified. But this is an interesting verse that you might show the witness sometime. And I expect in the future it's not going to be stated the same way in their New World Translation. But if you turn over to John chapter 20, verse 25, we're looking basically at the same story we just did with Thomas. Now, if you remember, Thomas made a statement before he saw Jesus regarding what would have to be proof to him that Jesus was indeed resurrected before Jesus actually appeared to him. And that's what we're looking at. And now note the description I just gave you of the witness version of execution for Jesus, with his hands crossed above his head, a single nail through those hands. Okay? All their artwork that you see on this subject, that's exactly the way it is depicted. Okay? And yet we see here Thomas stating in John chapter 20, verse 25, he says, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and stick my finger into the print of the nails, and stick my hand into his side, I will certainly not believe." Well, they forgot to take the S out of nails in regards to Jesus' hands. And of course, there certainly wouldn't be any reason for more than one nail unless you had some green executioners. But the point is there. Jesus required more than one nail in his hands because one was over here and one was over here.